Passion our purpose, profit our pain.
I don't ever want my name to be in vain.
A life full of substance is the only thing that will remain the same. Millennial.
Millennial thoughts. We're
Yay.
getting there. We're getting there.
Welcome back to another episode with your girls. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sabria.
We are so excited for you all to, join us on this conversation. This is part two of Money, Love, and Madness. If you have not seen part one, go watch it on our YouTube channel, Millennial Thoughts Podcast, or any podcasting platform you listen to. We are excited to keep on talking about this topic because it's really popular now. But first, listen to the Millennial Mogul. If you don't know her, you must be under a rock. But Victoria Monet is an American songwriter, and she has been working out here. She's wrote for a whole bunch of people. I really think she even has Beyonce on her credits or somebody on there. But she won a Grammy for Best R&B album and singer of the year, a new singer of the year. So I just wanted to give her flowers because she is out here. She's like, oh my mama, I look fly, I look good. So it was like on TikTok or whatever, really popular. And so we just want to shout her out and like give her flowers, because it's hard out here in these industries. And so we just wish her nothing but the best. So yeah, that's our millennial mogul. Go check her out. You can go follow her on Instagram, Victoria Monet. And Monet is actually a really pretty name as well. So, yes, if you all have any suggestions for people who should be millennial moguls, definitely email us at millennialthoughtspod@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram at millennialthoughtspod. I would love to share and highlight people you all think that is great in doing stuff as a millennial in this world today. So, thank y'all and shout out to my girl, Victoria. Yay.
I love it. I love it. And speaking of life and success, I'm excited to go back into our topic of money and love and madness, everything in between. In lieu of our therapy toolkit, we're going to be playing the this or that game once again. I know last time we kind of cheated, but this time we got to really play. So we're going to really pick this or that for real this time. So these questions are a little bit more straightforward, and I think we'll be able to do it. So are you ready, Alicia? We're going to go into some this or that.
Yes, I'm ready.
Yes, and those listening and those watching, play along with us. Let us know what you choose. So the first question is big wedding or intimate wedding? This or that?
I'm gonna choose an intimate wedding over a big wedding because I don't know nobody. That was easy.
That's so funny. We did an intimate wedding. It was actually literally just our parents, and my husband's mom actually married us, and it was literally like five of us there. It was like so cute, so perfect, so simple. And of course there was the element, like I've always, the only wedding I would ever want to do if I ever did a wedding would be the wedding in Crazy Rich Asians. That one right there is the most beautiful wedding. If you've never seen it, go to a YouTube clip. It definitely has it. That was like the coolest wedding when she was like stepping into like the river and the water, and it was like, oh my gosh. So I did it that way. I'm happy I did it the way we did it, and we saved a ton of money. All right, so y'all ready for the next one? Destination wedding or a local wedding?
I'm definitely choosing a destination wedding.
I love that. So why destination?
Destination wedding, that's why I would be intimate. It'd be so many, like it would just be a couple of people who can actually, afford to be able to go to the spots. But I think destination weddings are so beautiful. And I think like me being at the beach, like that's like one of my calming spaces. So I want to probably be next to the beach. I love a trip. So it's like making a wedding out of a trip is so cool. And you just kind of get to be like, I feel like it's kind of less stressed, even though you have a wedding planner. When you're local, I feel like it's just so much going on. Like your head can be spinning like that. But when you're out somewhere, it like really feels like a romantic time. It feels like, oh, I'm away and I feel like I'm gonna get married. And I feel like also, I can start the honeymoon as quickly as I want to.
That's true, because you're already at a destination.
Already there,
I
okay.
love that. It's funny because I actually originally planned a destination wedding. That was like what we wanted to do. And I think, the wedding talks were happening in like COVID and all that stuff. And so for us, we ended up doing something local. But then again, we moved to Florida, and Florida is like a destination in itself, right? Like the good thing about living in Florida is it really does feel like being in the Caribbean in some ways, with the palm trees and you can literally go anywhere and find a body of water. So we actually got married in our community because it's a beautiful lake where we live, and it was really perfect. So that's what we did. And I think that the destination option is so cool though. And you know, I think it might have been a little bit of a stretch for my family in particular just to make it happen. So I think it worked out the way it needed to. We ended up doing like a late honeymoon on a cruise later that year because we were like working. I was like the busiest I'd ever been in my internship. There was just like no right time to have this wedding, but we did it, we made it, and I feel you. So I think the great thing is you can always do a vow renewal wherever you want, right? You can do that as many times.
Would you choose, destination or local?
Yes, I would choose. Well, I guess I chose local then. So I would say local, just because we did save, but I would probably do maybe our vow renewal at a destination. That'd be kind of fun.
I do think so too.
All right. Look at you holding me accountable. Which one you chose? I gotta choose. Okay. Next one is honeymoon or a house.
This one is so tough. I'm gonna have to choose a honeymoon. Only because, though, I really want to build my house. Like, if I really get a house, I want to build my house. And I just know I'm not nowhere to like build it right now, you know? And so, if I'm gonna buy a house, I want to build a house. And I know it's gonna take it a while to get built. And like, buying a house right now, like I said, if it's just me and my man, we don't need this big old house. Okay. So, it's like, I just want to have those memories, and I want to be able to be like, let's enjoy, like, let's have fun. Like, it's like we're kids, like we have this money, let's spend this money on this trip. We're gonna have memories for the rest of our life. Houses are always going to be there as well. So
I love that perspective. So we ended up choosing house because we ironically had a house before. It was like the way things worked out, you know, we had found our home and we actually did, and we ended up building, but we did a spec home. So that basically means everything's already selected. It had all the finishes pre-selected for us, which we built before when we had a house back in North Carolina. And so with the spec home, it ended up being most of the things that we wanted. Now, of course, this is not probably our forever home. However, it's something that we really like and it'll probably be a long timer home. So I would say house just because I can do a honeymoon. I mean, to my husband, I'd be telling him, look, we can honeymoon every doggone year. And living in Florida, I ain't gonna lie, we've been on a perpetual honeymoon. We've been going to a lot of stuff. Finally, we're slowing down and pulling it back because we've been honeymooning for the last couple of years. So we need to
I
pull
should
back
have been
a little
trying to
bit.
promote Florida. Like, girl, I could be in Miami, I could be in Orlando, I could be in
Girl, I just like we
Alabama,
it's
I could
been
be anywhere.
wild because we're right by the cruise port, the beaches, you know, you have access to everything. And so for us, I think the next big trip I'd actually want to do would probably be somewhere in Asia, somewhere major like that for me.
I like that. You got me like, should I move to Florida? Ooh,
Think
because this
about it. Think about it.
landlocked state, but that goes into even mental health and stuff like that. A whole nother conversation. But being able to have that option, like I could go to the beach, I could go on a cruise, like I could fly to the Bahamas. Like it's just the access of it. So
I agree. I agree. So let's go to our next one. We have wait for, or sorry, have wait for kids. So like wait to have a kid after you get married or have kids quickly after marriage.
I'm gonna choose wait for kids. I really want to enjoy my husband, and I get it. People are saying that you're together, stuff like that, but like things change when you're married. Like I said, the last episode, I talked about like a routine and stuff like that. So I feel like we need to get into a routine. We need to like be able to enjoy marriage because people have kids so quickly. Not everybody, but you have to quickly have kids so quickly. Your routine changes, and then you're trying to figure out how to do date night. You're trying to over here feed your baby, dude. And it's just like so many things. So it's like I kind of just want to enjoy if we even start looking for a house. You know, I want to enjoy that time, really get to know him. Like, this is my husband. Like, let's go on trips. Let's have fun. Don't have time to worry about no babysitter. So I would say wait for kids, but also the clock is ticking, so I need him to hurry up so we can wait for kids.
That's true because age does matter, right? Like that's a factor. I think everybody doesn't get that luxury, and I know that's really tough. So it's almost like a luxury to be able to wait, right? I would say definitely for us, you know, waiting was a good option for us because we had the luxury of time. Now, had we got married a little bit later or had, you know, I ended up, you know, had it been any different, then we probably would have not been able to have that freedom. So, you know, it also affects the number of kids you have. So I would say, you know, I'm in a new phase of my life. You know, I'm open to the possibilities of life. That's kind of where I keep it at this point.
But you've
I
been
don't
married a
know.
while, right? Haven't you?
Yeah, we're going on 2 years this month.
Yeah.
So like as of recording this episode, so it'll be about 2 years. But we've been together for like we're going on our we're this year is going into our 12th year. So we just completed 11 years together. So we were long timers.
That's good. But yeah, so even now, like 2 years, I think is a great time, you know, like you're kind of settled, like you said, you're making more money, you like kind of have y'all flow, whatever. I'm not saying wait like 5 and 6 years, and definitely I'm not in my 20s, so I can't, but like I feel like at least like a year or two or something like that. But
Yeah.
That comes into different things too, because you know, different health issues, different things like that. So it can even be hard to conceive kids, you know. So like kind of that's all up in the air with all that. But yeah, I would definitely wait for kids.
I like that. I like that. And let's do our last one. I like this one. This one's kind of similar to the home situation, but have your dream home. So like this is the home you like want. Like this is your settled down home, like all the bells and whistles, or maybe live in a simpler living situation, but go on lots of luxury vacations. So dream home
Why
or
did you do this to me?
I
Now
know.
I was good on the other ones. Now this,
This one's hard.
I know I don't know how I'm gonna make a decision because this is my dream home and I built it. If it was my dream home and I built it, it would already feel like a vacation. So I'm gonna go with my dream home. I'm gonna have my pool, hot tub. It's gonna be like a vacation at home. So because I have a movie theater in there and everything. Yep, I'm choosing dream home.
I love that. That's really good because there are some couples that choose to, simplify, or maybe they go RVing, or there's couples out there who they, decide to just downsize and live really simple and do all the fun things. My husband and I really were trying to decide that for ourselves. We've gone through a lot of different periods in our lives, but we come to realize that we spend way too much time at home to like not have a comfort space. So I definitely say that like having a home that you really like and that you really enjoy makes a difference because vacations are fleeting, unless you're just gone all the time or you like both work
Exactly.
remote wherever you are, which that's already hard. I mean, traveling's fun, but it's a lot of work. It's tiring, and there's a lot that comes with it.
Yes. Go back to our very first episode for that conversation because we talked about
Yes.
it. But yeah, now that is true. And so it does depend on where I'm at because if I work remotely, I probably would choose luxury vacations. But if I work remotely, then I can go anywhere I want. So life would be a vacation, you know? But as in like I don't work from home. But if I was a remote worker, I probably would choose luxury vacations or vacationing all the time. But if you think about it, like if you have kids and stuff like that, that's kind of hard to always be traveling with kids. Not hard, but like it's something that I probably don't want to do all the time. And so it's like, how many times am I going to do vacations out the year? 5 times, but then I got to be at my house every 300 days or whatever. Like, no, I might as well like my house. I might as well enjoy my house. So we're just going to
Yeah.
take a couple of vacations every other
That's
month.
fair. That's fair. I love that. I love
It's
that.
luxury though, but we're going to make it.
Speaking of life and luxury and money and everything in between, we're going to jump right back to our conversation talking about money, love, and madness. And so there's a couple more topics that we really felt were just too juicy not to include in this. So I'm glad we're doing a part two. And so I want to kind of just start us off with one of the biggest things that's been, well, actually, I'm gonna start off with one. I'm gonna go into our traditional wife conversation, but I wanna first start off by talking about financial expectations. I think that's like a really good topic because oftentimes it gets really messy of who pays for what. So, like, let's start with the very first date when you meet somebody. Alicia, in your opinion, do you feel like the person that you met on the very first date should pay for your first date?
Yeah, like the man should pay for my first date. Yes, like regardless of who asked who, because I know this new trend talking about some whoever asked who on the date needs to go. No. The man that's taking me on date, even if I suggest it, you need to pay for it. So I think
Wait,
the man.
let me twist this up though. What if you end up realizing you didn't like him on the date? Would you still think he should pay if you realize that y'all aren't going to work after that date? Because that gets hard.
Yeah, I think you should still pay because honestly, like, I'm not the type of girl that goes out just to get free food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't really do that because in general, you know my life, you know me outside of it. Like, my life is too busy. I'm so sorry. Like, oh, I can go get a free meal. Free meal don't do nothing for me because I can go and I can enjoy my own time. So if I'm going out with you, and I think that's the issue too. If I'm going out with you, I'm going to see like who you are to spend. And I think what's the issue is men, they don't court enough. They don't want to call you. They just come and see me. Just come see me. It's like, well, that's why you're losing your money because you're not talking to the person, you're not texting, you're not doing nothing like that. So I think that if I'm going out on a date with you, I've thought about it, I've talked to you for a little bit, and I'm gonna go out to try to get to know you. So I think you should pay regardless because I'm still taking out my time to go with you. And I'm very busy. Like, so yes, I definitely think that the man should pay for the date.
Yeah, it gets complicated. I think that Because I know that's a whole controversy that's come out, about who pays for the date, especially if you end up liking the person. I have not dated in a very long time, so I it's hard for me to speak for that because I know it would be really, really hard. Being in a long-term relationship, I think it really just depends on the nature of the date. Of course, my husband traditionally, picks up most of things, but just depending on what it is. Like if it's something I really wanted us to do for us, and he's like, I don't really care for it, then I'm happy to cover our tickets for it. But if it's something that, the average thing that we want to do together, then, for the most part, he takes over those dates. So even long-term, you have to decide, when you've been with somebody who covers dates, because that's a thing too.
Get to cover the dates.
I get
I'm
the
like, I'm sorry, but that's like, I don't know, I could be oblivious to this, but I'm like, when I go out with my parents and my daddy always paid a dang bill. So that's another thing, like, I don't know nothing about I'm paying for nothing. But of course, I guess my mom, she pays them, but baby, she don't pay that out to eat bill or like the date night bills. Like, I feel like that is the part where it's like, okay, like, can we keep some tradition? Like, why is the man not paying the dang date? Like, I mean, I could buy him something for his birthday. Like, I will take you out for your birthday. I can buy you stuff for your birthday. I said, I'll even pay for my man's like birthday trip. I did say that. My friends are like, what? But it's like, can he pay for the dang date? Like, I just think that that is what comes with it. Like, you want this woman, you should show her that you want her, take her out, treat her nicely, and then everything will be great.
That's
So
fair.
I
And that's and you but you it makes sense if that works for you. And I think you have to definitely choose, like, and I tell people, the listeners here, you have to choose what works for you and your partner. It could be where certain types of dates one person pays for, whereas the other. So I think it's important that everyone decides and that you discuss that pretty early in the process, because sometimes what happens is in early dating, an expectation may be set or assumed. And then later on, if the partner feels different, they're not speaking up, or they do, and it can cause discord. So this is a great thing that you could talk about early in relationship, so that that partner knows this is the ongoing expectation. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, because I was gonna say, even like when you do get married, that does lean into it. So like if I'm traveling, like if we're married, I will like I can definitely pay for a trip. Like if you're paying the rent every month, I can set aside money to pay for the trip. You know what I'm saying? And so even regardless, like if we're dating and you pay for a trip, like you could pay for the flight and you can pay for the hotel. Please, pretty please. I could buy some food. Like I could buy some food. Okay. Let's make this work. Like I'm
gotta make
sorry.
it work.
Yeah. So I think that that's too. I mean, I could probably help pay for the hotel or something like that. But like, I don't know. When I hear provider, when I think of that, I think that like the man should definitely lead in that as well. That's just my thing. And then the woman should help support him in that. And so yeah, that's kind of what I think about it. And I know you were
So
going to.
let me ask this. It gets complicated when it comes to who pays for what. What about when it comes to living together versus not? So, like, let's say y'all are dating and y'all live in separate households. Should it just be dates where, that's an agreement, or should anybody be paying for anything in each other's household? Is that what do you think if you have separate households?
Yeah, no, I think if you're just dating, like I don't think you should pay for bills per se, like rent or whatever, like unless like you're living together. I don't think that a man should be paying your rent and his rent and y'all just dating. I don't think that. Now, do I think a man should be paying for dates and stuff like that? Yeah. And women are nice, like women like, but I'm saying like women will buy you stuff, women will think about you, whatever. Like, and I think that when you live, I mean when you're dating someone, you don't live together, like you're gonna have free days, you're gonna be at his house, he's gonna be at your house, you're gonna have movie nights, like you're not always gonna be spending money or whatever. You can go to dinner, you might cook for him, you know? So it's like it's different things like that. But I do think that like when you move in together, you should think like, oh, who's gonna pay the rent? Who's gonna pay these type of bills? And that's kind of when you get into like the joint account versus separate accounts and stuff like that.
And it gets complicated because if y'all live together and, like, y'all don't work, then if you bought the couch, it's like, are we gonna pull a Madea, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, where we're.
And that's why I say I don't want to live with, like, I'm not living with you unless we marry for real,
That
for
gets
real.
complicated, right?
Yeah,
Because.
it is. And it's like, then y'all be breaking up and y'all still be living together.
And,
Oh,
like,
heck.
whose furniture is what? I covered the coffee table, but then you bought this, but then you pay for this. So it could get a little complicated, I could imagine, if, and so it's something that you want to talk about early before you move in together. Hey, if we were not to work for whatever reason, I know people don't want to talk about that, but it's important to talk about those things because.
People be so in love, they'd be forgetting. I'd be like, so what? Like, I do know this couple got a two bedroom and like one person like lived in the other room or whatever. Like they live separately in different rooms because it's like y'all don't talk about that. And then y'all get one bedroom and y'all don't talk about well, and then who's on the lease? Because baby, I'm not getting kicked out. You better go find somewhere else to stay or
Yeah,
something.
that's
Or
the
yeah, you just don't know. It's
yeah,
scary.
it gets tough. It gets tough. So, I mean, So now that kind of takes us to like the traditional versus the stay-at-home wife. I mean, that's a whole movement that's been online. It's becoming a more emerging movement. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what's traditional wife versus stay-at-home wife?
Oh, sorry. So, well, I would say that kind of probably goes together, right? So traditional wife, this idea, sorry, so traditional wife versus non-traditional wife. So traditional wives are individuals who more so stay at home, right? Or it's assumed that they do more of the gender kind of central roles of nurturing, housework, things around the home, whereas the non-traditional wife, she might do maybe a combination of the two. Maybe she does some things in the home, but she also does things outside the home. So what are your thoughts on the two different lifestyles?
I think I'm a hybrid wife.
Hybrid wife. We got a new name here, a new title, y'all.
Like hybrid, like you work remote, you work from home, you work. Like I think I'm a little bit of hybrid. And I as we talk about like seasons, like in marriage, like of course, like I said earlier, I don't want to get pregnant right when I'm married. So of course, if I'm not probably gonna be a stay-at-home wife with no kids. Like literally, I don't enjoy cleaning and cooking. Like I just don't. But I do enjoy traveling and stuff like that. So I'm gonna work. So you know, we could travel, we could take trips, whatever, whatever. So I'm saying like a hybrid wife because I'm like, I don't mind working, and so I will work. But then, like when I have kids, like baby, when that pregnancy test says positive, and I go and I get my ultrasound, I am turning in my 2 weeks notice, maybe even a month. You better be ready to take care of me, okay? Because I am not pregnancy, like, is a big one. Like, people just announce that they're pregnant, whatever. And I'm like, not trying to be rude, but I'm like, it's a privilege to have a baby by me. But I'm like, women go through so much that it's like, after I have this baby, I am not working and I want a push present. So, whatever you gotta do to get those things.
I love it. Alicia knows exactly what she wants out of life.
If you can afford a push present, but for real, like, I don't want to work. When I have kids, honestly, like daycare is very, very expensive, and I might as well just stay at home and I can nurture my own kid. I can teach my own kid, you know? So, like, that's what I mean by hybrid, because I do want to stay at home when I have kids. And then if I'm going to have kids, I'm probably going to have them just back to back just to like get them out of the way so it's easier. And then maybe I do want to homeschool my kids, but now I don't know about all these 18 years or whatever. I don't know what I'm going to do. Put them in a co-op or something like that. But maybe if I put them in something or like I will work, my own time, like I'll be an entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying? Like I have my own business, something like that. So it's like I have a business, but then I'll still take care of the kids. But you have to know like that is going to be okay with you. So when I actually now when I talk to dudes, I probably talk their head off, but I talked to two dudes and I was like, I want to be a stay-at-home wife. I mean, no. I was like, I want my kids to stay at home. I said, like, I want to have my kids to stay at home. And they're like, what? What are your kids gonna do working? And so like to me, I'm just like, you don't have the bandwidth to understand what I'm saying. And so it's really sad, but on to the next dude or whatever. But it's like, I know that I want to stay at home with my children. I know that I want to teach my children. And so that's what I mean like by a hybrid wife. Like I'll work before I have kids. When I have kids, I'm probably not gonna work. When they get older, I might work or I might start a business or something like that. And in the 9 months, I probably will have a business. Like I'll probably go start it and I'll be able to nurture my business. So then when my kids come, then I'll be able to have something. So that's kind of like my plan, my idea of it. So I don't really traditional nor stay at home wife. Just make sure that you have your own. Okay, whatever. You gotta save. You gotta get some money. Make sure you keep your own bank account on the sh That's what I heard before. Keep a sh account bank account if
And
you're a woman.
that to me is so complicated because I'm so big about transparency. And if you feel, I believe personally, when I think about my marital therapy work, if it's something where you have to keep it from a person, then it might be something you have to think about of the type of partner that you're with. Like there should be enough trust in that partnership where if you do have your own account or your own funds, it shouldn't be something that your partner, judges or treats differently. Because even if y'all got a divorce, you actually legally have to tell all assets and share all monies. That's actually something that you can get penalized for in the court system if it's not all put on the table. And so,
Now.
but if it's ever found out, technically speaking, like it can be like I've actually seen cases where it happened that way. Like a woman, she won the lottery one time and she hid the money and she wanted to leave her husband. She had to give him a whole bunch of the money, all because she did not disclose. So one of the things I recommend in marriages and relationships is full transparency, only because there's bigger implications on the back end. And also it shares about the nature of your partner. If you feel as though you cannot be transparent with your partner about what you got going on your side, that tells you that some work might need to be done in the partnership. And that's just my perspective in the couples work that I do, because I'm really big about transparency.
I think I disagree only because, like, when I'm saying a shush account, it's not really like something that is like, oh, not transparency, but it's kind of like as a woman, have your own stash because you are a stay-at-home wife. You never know. You don't know what's going on. You could find out that your husband is cheating on you. You could find out he could start being abusive and stuff like that. So that could be your security net that you save to keep just in case. So that's what the lens that I'm coming.
If abuse is involved and stuff, I agree. It gets really complicated, right? But even still, like I said, with marital law, if it gets marriage, it gets real complicated because
Baby, if my husband is beating on me, he's not getting none of my money. He's going to jail.
and that's true. But unfortunately, in America, we don't do a good job of protecting battered women, or men, right? We don't do a good job of protecting these individuals because our system's not there. So I see that
I
perspective.
gotta protect myself, clearly. Baby, I'm gonna be like Legion. It's in an offshore account.
In the offshore account. So there's that. But this is a good conversation because, when it comes to traditional wife, I like this idea of hybrid. I think America's moving more to a hybrid future, quite frankly.
To coin my term.
I know I love the word hybrid wife because I do think there's beauty in it. Because for me, I'm someone who worked so hard to build my business. I'm almost complete with my doctorate. There's all these things that I put in to build my career. And I can't really imagine, like, and it's funny, like, my family the other day, I was joking about me becoming like a mimosa mom, like one of those moms who drink, I don't even drink, but like, have an orange juice, really, like, not even a mimosa, but with my girlfriends. And we're out chilling while, my husband's at doing his whatever he's doing. And then my family was like, Sabrina, everybody was like, y'all think Sabrina could be a stay at home mom? And they were like, no. So it's so funny because
Me. I'm like, y'all don't know me. They like
so funny. And
board.
like, I
Y'all
was
like
like,
board.
and it's, right. And so, like, I don't think I'll probably actually be a traditional, like, and I think I'll definitely be involved in my kids, like, schooling. I taught my brothers how to read and write growing up, and I definitely have an education background. My teachers are parents. And so I imagine that I'll continue the work that I'm doing in the therapeutic and mental health space, and also have the flexibility to continue to, child rear. I mean, I can imagine taking my kid with me to a speaking engagement and things like
Yeah,
that.
that's what I'm saying. Yes, flexibility, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I'm really gonna be a stay at home. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have nothing to do. That is just not me. But like in general, like taking my kids on adventures. Like I know people don't know now, whatever. Like I like to ride, I like to travel. So like being able to show my kids the world is everything. And I'm not married to a military man, so I'm not gonna be able to do that. Like my dad did it, but baby, oh well. But we gonna drive, or whatever. So I think that is like people are like, you want to be a stay-at-home mommy? I'm like, yeah, I would love that. Like, I would literally love to be able to create and enjoy my day. Like, I just create and do whatever I want in the day. Who does not want that? Like, that is freedom to me. And so that's something that you have to talk about. And being able to be free with my kids or as whatever. In my background, I have education. I worked with kids all my life. Like, I could teach, I could read. Like, I'm into like kind of like gaming and designing and stuff like that. So like I can even teach my kids about financial literacy so young that they don't even have to go to college. They can start their own business. They can create like they like the world is just like their oyster, you know? So I think that's also too about like how people don't know kind of like even what is out there, like what they can even dream of to be able to achieve. So that's just something I wanted to add to it.
No, I love that. I love that. This idea of creating a more holistic upbringing for your child. And, it's funny when we talked about transparency earlier, I was actually thinking about that Love is Blind episode. So, for those who have been watching the new season of Love is Blind, I'm definitely a junkie for reality TV. One of the characters, Clay, he, they go through this horrible, terrible, I don't at the altar. So, sorry, spoilers. And basically, at the altar, he says, he can't marry her. And then ironically, whenever they're talking about it at the end of, like, close to his feedback at the end of the episode, he says, "Well, I don't know about her money stuff, so I don't feel comfortable either marrying her as well." And so that just kind of once again rolls back into that transparency piece because it is such a risk to go into a marriage and to not know where that person stands. Even if that person does have things that are not desirable, it's so important that you know because I've seen stories of people still paying for someone else's bills or loans after a divorce because you were not aware of that, and that gets split up. Every state has a different law, so I cannot recommend it enough. Look up your laws for your state when you're getting married so that you know what the expectations are. If you decide to do the prenuptial agreement or postnuptial agreement, have those conversations because when emotions get involved, all logic goes out the window. And so we all say we'll be logical until it's time to be logical and things don't happen that way.
Snap to that because that is so true. Two examples. My friend was telling me how I think she's Catholic, but her husband is Muslim. But like they had like a agreement that they had to write up, and like they prepared for a divorce before they even get married. And to that side of that, you know how Risa Tisa did her video about marriage, divorce, or whatever. That was in Georgia. This other lady did her marriage and divorce thing. She was in North Carolina. She was like, in North Carolina, you have to be separated from a year before you
A
get a divorce.
year.
And yeah, you probably know that because you was born in North Carolina. And that's another thing. Florida, child, that's what you don't want to get married in Florida. But I think that's something that people don't know. We are the United States of America, but each state is different. And so you got to even know in Georgia, like the mom is going to get more stuff, like more of the parental whatever guidance or whatever. Like the daddy doesn't really have any rights per se. I don't want to say it like that, but like no rights. So if a mom wants to leave the country or something like that. And so I think for men and women both, I think you all should know. And I don't think that's talked about enough either, but I know what it means because I know even in like in California, like some places they okay, separate, and you can like both get visitation rights or whatever. So I think that's even a conversation too, as well, because like you said, people get all these emotions in it, and like you can't say you're gonna be logical, but people get mad because you know if it's something about abuse or cheating or anything like that, all eyes are
All
red.
logic is gone.
Yeah. So I think that is very important. And so as we're talking about money, even in that, talking about like paying for the wedding, you know, like traditionally, like when we were younger or whatever, I knew like the bride's parents pay for the wedding because they're like giving away their girl to their husband, to her husband or whatever, and the husband was taking over all the bills. Well, now you see that people are paying for their weddings themselves, so that's even a conversation too. If we do get married, who's going to pay for the wedding? Who's going to pay for the honeymoon? How are we going to do this? That goes back into our early this or that, baby. Baby, it's going to be
Have
intimate.
those convers
Yeah,
I'm
so.
with you. Have those conversations.
In the beginning, and I think that that's important too. Even kids is a big conversation. How many kids do we want? Because baby, when I realize you only get one paycheck, I'm like, how are people living off of one paycheck with five kids? I don't know how they doing
It's a lot of work. Is
it. Yeah.
that and that's you gotta that's and I think that brings us to lifestyle too, because the question is, what type of lifestyle you want to live? Because sometimes you can end up with a partner who is okay with the simplest, most baseline of living, whereas you might be like, no, I want granite counters. I want nice hardwoods. I
That's
think
three weddings. I mean,
I
what?
want three weddings, right? Like, it's so important though that you have that conversation. You and your partner have to have an agreed understanding about lifestyle preferences. If you're buying a $4,000 purse and that's normal for you, and your partner cannot imagine stomaching that, that matters. And so thankfully, you know, that was something that my partner and I, we really talked about, was how do we, what's important to us? Even on travel, for us, hotel is huge. Whereas some people, they're like, I can stay in the most bone don't hotel and that's good with me. I'm not gonna be there much. But it matters. And I think it's important that you both have a shared understanding. Do you like an older home? Do you like a new construction? Those are real debates and arguments that couples have because lifestyle differences are a real thing. So you want to make sure you're on a similar vein.
And to your point, real quick, about you were saying about the culture and like how like you spend or whatever culture with weddings. Some cultures you have three and four weddings. You know, are you okay with that? And then that goes into even some cultures. The wife's money don't matter because the men take care of all the money, you know. So do you care? Does your money matter in your relationship? If you are a woman or whatever, does your man care about that? Do you have to
And he might not want you to work. That might be a factor too. Are you okay with not having the choice to work? Because that could be a factor in a marriage, depending on culture.
So culture is a big thing too when you think about lifestyle differences and stuff like that. So all in all to say, it's like have these conversations, and that's why I'm really trying to figure out what I can do. But I'm like, people need to learn how to communicate. People don't know how to communicate the basic stuff, and then this is why we have all these different topics and questions and blah blah blah, because people are not communicating. They are not talking about the real issues that they're. That's why I have this podcast, to talk about the real issues, to talk about what's going on, and to not have the same things keep happening over and over. So if you didn't get nothing else. About if you didn't get nothing else from this episode, talk. If you ain't got no partner, then write your list down now, okay? And if you got a partner, bring this up. I'm about to create a game, like it is like a dating game, like to have conversations. What do you think about money? What do you do like
That's
this? Like,
smart.
this is what we need to talk about. These are even starter conversations because it is kind of so hard and taboo, haha. But it's like we really need to have those. And if you want a partner and if you want to be able to create this lifestyle that you want. Literally, like, you all need to have these conversations. And I just hope that you all just listen to us and share. And going into our therapy corner, I just want to say, like, think about it. Are you okay being a traditional wife? Are you okay being a stay-at-home wife? Or do you want to be a hybrid wife like me? Think about what you want. Think about your kids. Thinking about how much you make. Think about the lifestyle that you want. Like, we always talk about vision boards and stuff like that, manifestation. Like, really write it down and think about it and make sure that your man paid for the first date and he continues to pay for the date. And don't move in with anybody until y'all are married and check the laws of the state that you are going to get married in. Now, that's a big one, okay? So,
yes, I love those thoughts. I love those thoughts, Alicia. They're so great. And as a mental health professional, I think it's really important to have these conversations and understand that you both have a right to change your mind, number one, because sometimes something that was one expectation in the beginning may be different. However, also be careful if you choose to marry your partner and on an assumption that they will change their mind, right? So someone may have a certain perspective of how to approach money or children or financials up front, and they've told you that, but yet you marry them thinking they'll change their mind, and it ends up not being the case when you're married. So it's important to know that you both will change. There are things that may change, but there's also things that may not change. So if your partner was a big spender before y'all got married, you can't be surprised that they're a big spender after you're married. So it's important to look at these things early and understand that you will not have all the check boxes, but if it checks enough boxes where you feel comfortable, you feel at peace, you feel you can trust this person, that's the most important thing you can have when it comes to financials and marriage. If you feel you can trust them above all else, then that is a great key to moving forward. And that's my advice for you all.
Yes, I agree. Okay, I agree, because people think that people change and people do not change. It just goes different ways. And also, even if you change your mind, you cannot expect your partner to be okay with always changing your mind. That's not fair to the partner that you're changing your mind. If I said I want four kids, I want four kids. You're okay with four kids, then you change to two kids. I still want four kids. Like, you can't, like, be okay with that. You could be open or whatever. So yeah, I hope y'all really enjoyed this. Share this with your friends, family, your cousins, people who about to get married, people who ain't married yet, but they thinking about marriage, because they need to know this. Okay. They need to know this. Okay. Period. follow us on Instagram at Millennial Thoughts Pod, on YouTube at Millennial Thoughts Podcast. And definitely comment, share your thoughts on our this or that. Share your thoughts on anything that we even said about lifestyle differences. If you watch Love is Blind, who you think is paying for your wedding, or if you even pay for your wedding, child, because I know they're expensive, child. People still paying for it, but hey, it is what it is. Thank y'all so much for listening. We'll see y'all in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.